Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be his kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known. From you there are no secrets hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord, make us have perpetual love and reverence for your holy name, for you never fail to help and govern those whom you have set upon the sure foundation of your loving kindness. We pray this through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
A reading from the prophet Isaiah. I was ready to be sought out by those who did not ask, to be found by those who did not seek me. I said, here I am, to a nation that did not call upon my name. I held out my hands all day long to a rebellious people who walk in the way that is not good, following their own devices. A people who provoke me to my face continually, sacrificing gardens and offering incense on bricks, who sit inside tombs and spend the night in secret places, who eat swine's flesh with a broth of abominable things in their vessels, who say, keep to yourself, do not come near me, for I am too holy for you. These are a smoke in my nostrils, a fire that burns all day long. See, it is written before me. I will not keep silent, but I will repay. I will indeed repay into their laps their iniquities and their ancestors' iniquities together, says the Lord, because they offered incense on the mountains and reviled me on the hills. I will measure into their laps full payment for their actions. Thus says the Lord, as the wine is found in the cluster, so I will do for my servant's sake and not destroy them all. I will bring forth descendants from Jacob and from Judah, inheritance of my mountains. My chosen shall inherit it, and my servants shall settle there. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hasten to help me,
save me from the sword,
my life from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, my wretched body from the horns of wild bulls. I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of a congregation, I will praise you. Praise the Lord, all that fear him. offspring of Israel, all you of Jacob's line, with glory.
For he does not despise nor abhor the poor in their poverty, neither does he hide his face from them. But when they cry to him, he hears them.
My praise is of him in the great assembly. I will perform my vows in the presence of those who worship him.
The poor shall eat and be satisfied, and those who seek the Lord shall praise him. May your heart live forever.
All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nation shall bow before him.
For kingship belongs to the Lord. He rules over the nations.
A reading, excuse me, a reading from the letter to the Galatians. Now, before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian. For in Jesus Christ, you are all children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female. For all of you are one in Jesus Christ. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, your offspring, heirs according to the promise. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus and his disciples arrived at the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. As Jesus stepped out on land, a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he did not live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it had seized him, and it was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles. But he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the wilds. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. They begged him not to order them to go back into the abyss. Now there on the hillside, a large herd of swine was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter those. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swineherd saw what had happened, they ran off and told in the city and in the country. The people came out to see what had happened, and when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. They were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with Jesus, but Jesus sent him away and saying, "Return to your home. Declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
People of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to depart, for they were seized with great fear. I speak to you in the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. If I had to do seminary over, I would potentially choose not to write a thesis. I think we had that option. Man, that was an undertaking. And for what? It's like 12 pages that nobody will ever read again. My hope is that nobody will ever read it again. But if I had to do that again, I think either I would not write a thesis at all, or I would choose the topic of memes. Memes. Spirituality of memes. And do you all know what I'm talking about when I say a meme? These are the things on the internet that come to you either in pictures or words. Oftentimes they're funny, sometimes they're sentimental, or they carry some sort of significance. When I was doing college ministry, I learned that a lot of how people that young talk to each other about who they are, their existential realities, who God is, what their anxieties are through memes. That's how they talk to each other. I say all that to say that I recently came across a meme that I want to share with you. And after the service, when we're eating pie together, if you want to see this meme physically, I've got it on my phone. I will show it to you. But I'm going to describe it to you now. So here's how the meme works. So there is an exchange of syntax at the top of words between God and an angel. And God says to the angel, "What are they doing down there now?" And the angel says, "They're drinking almond milk. They're making milk from almonds." And God says, "I gave them like 8 animals to make milk from. Why are they doing that?" And the angel says, "They don't like that milk." And the next line is a picture of Jesus going, I love it. The subtle profundity of it. Like, what? It doesn't help that I drink a whole lot of almond milk. That does not help the meme. But I picture this Jesus doing like the face palm or the exasperated sort of disgust or questioning. I think we don't look at Jesus that way enough, looking back at us. I think instead we picture whatever sort of image of Jesus that we hope and want and like that fits our sort of prejudices about the world. Jesus might be doing this, but it's to those other people who are messing everything up, right? Jesus is doing this to those folks over there. Jesus is never doing this to us, right? It's hard for us to get our brains around Jesus as the other, sort of breaking into the world in a way that confuses and turns up and challenges our perceptions about what is right and what is wrong and what should be and what shouldn't be, right? We have a hard time thinking about Jesus that way. But Luke, who, just so you know, we are in year C of the lectionary cycle. It's A, B, C. A is the Matthew year. B is the Mark year. Here we are in Luke in the C year. And so Luke is our gospel. And John kind of gets he gets shafted a little bit. John is like, we read him all the time throughout all 3 years. But this year we're focused on Luke. And Luke is up to something. He wants to turn the whole world upside down via Jesus' inbreaking into the world. That's what he's up to. He wants the reader to take the reader on a journey in which they recognize that being on this journey with Jesus turns our individual world upside down, but helps us to see the world not as our prejudice would have us hold it, but as God's true mercy would have us believe it, right? That's what God is up to. And just in the journey, just in case just if you need an example of this. So in the very, very beginning of Luke, and it's funny, we've adopted this image as our own. We now own it. We build little creches of it. So in the very beginning of Luke is the most robust story about the birth of Jesus, right? So at Christmas time, no matter what year we're in, we read Luke because that's the story. That's the part of the New Testament that has the most robust, most illustrated storytelling about the beginning of Jesus's life. And the story goes this way. It's there's a person, Mary, who has questionable status in terms of her place in society, not quite married yet, with people who are displaced, who are common laborers, displaced, vulnerable to another place, and are unable to find a room, and so they're in a barn, and the baby gets laid in a feeding trough. That's the story, right? And then the birth gets adorned by the lowest common laborers, which is the lowest respectable laborers, which was shepherds at that time. So everything about this story is couched in humility. Right? That's what Luke is up to there. And so what Luke is saying to us is that when God sent the Messiah into the world, when God sent God's self, when Emmanuel, God with us, broke in on the human condition, what that looked like was a baby, not a soldier, not a diplomat, not a king, but a vulnerable baby. So from the very beginning of this journey in Luke, things are turned upside down for us. And then Luke takes us on this geographical journey where, unlike the other Gospels, and what scholars originally looked at this and thought was that Luke just didn't know anything about the Holy Land in terms of geography. But they missed the fact that what Luke was up to was he wanted Jesus to be on this winding, like Jesus would get real close to Jerusalem and then go back. And then he would get close to Jerusalem again, and then he would turn this way. And so why would Jesus do that? But that is our journey with the Christ in Luke. It's one in which we almost get there. We almost comprehend it. We almost understand that our glory is about surrender and love and giving ourselves over, is meeting the poor where they are and the vulnerable where they are, giving our hearts to those folks, being willing to forgive the people and love the people who revile us the most. That is the journey that we are on with Christ in the Gospel of Luke. And the disciples and those folks who are following Jesus around, they don't get it either. And so they have to go into these different places. And just in case Luke thinks that we're going to miss the point, he takes us to the country of the Gerasenes, which is such an obscure place that, depending on which translation of the gospel you have, it calls it a different place. It's like the Gardenians. They don't really know exactly where this is. There's no physical place on the shore of the Sea of Galilee that really matches this description of a place. But Luke takes us there, and what we find there are people who have swine, who have pigs. And the whole point there is that Jesus is going and doing acts of healing and power among folks who are not Jews, right? And who do not recognize him. I looked to see the last time I preached this gospel message. And I think I've preached it since 2016, but the last time I recorded preaching it was in 2016. It was at St. Paul's in Athens, and it was the week of, you know, the lectionary has you move around because depending on when Easter is, that's when this Sunday is going to fall, right? So it's usually within 3 to 5 weeks of, you know, the same time. But in 2016, this Sunday, this reading about the demoniac and the Gerasene, it fell the week after the shooting in Orlando at the Pulse nightclub. And here, today, on this Sunday, it falls in the midst of many gun violence, much of gun violence and shootings, but most recently at an Episcopal church near Birmingham where 3 people died, and my good friend John Burris is rector. And I keep putting myself in John's shoes this week, thinking about what it might be like to be in love with a community like I'm in love with these 2 communities, and to have something like that happen in the midst of them. To make matters worse, John was in Greece. He was in Athens when the shooting happened, and was on a pilgrimage with a group of parishioners there. They were on a 2-week-long excursion, and he got the news there and had to fly home. Utterly heartbreaking. I don't know about you, but I look at things that happen in our world like this, and maybe my first instinct is, how do we fix it? How do we punish who we need to punish? How do we restrict who we need to restrict? How do we promote what we need to promote? How do we change or adapt or politically sort of maneuver in the way that will allow us not to experience this again? I think this is why there is so much curiosity out there about the motive of these shooters, right? Everybody wants to know what motivated the shooter, just so we can know if that's going to motivate somebody to do something like that to us, right? How can we squash that motive? I think this is why the New Testament brings to us stories about demons. When I read about this story from scholars and other commentarians, many of them immediately go to like mental illness. Like in the first century, they didn't understand mental illness, and so they inserted the concept of demons. I think that's selling the text short. I think what the folks who brought us the Gospels and handed them down to us aptly understood about the world is that there are things that happen in this place and in our lives and in the world around us and in our communities that defy just all goodness and the good created order that God has given us, that are evil, that are pure evil. And we have to worry about how that gets healed, where God is going to come from in those terrible and awful moments. The people in the country surrounding the Gerasenes were frightened. They were afraid. They wanted Jesus to leave. And I think about that, and I wonder why. Why is it that Jesus came and healed this person, and now they want him to leave? I look at what they've done with this demoniac in the country of the Gerasenes across the Sea of Galilee. What's happened to him? There's little information in the text, but here's what we got, that this person was put in shackles that couldn't hold him. So they tried to bound him. And when that didn't work, he was relegated to the tombs, to the caves surrounding the city. to the place where nobody wanted to go. They controlled it. They cut themselves off from it. They employed their fix upon it. As these things happen in our world, our immediate go-to is to employ our fixes on it. Maybe we need better mental health training, and maybe we need better mental health resources. Maybe we need more gun control. Maybe we need teachers armed in schools. Maybe we need background checks for everybody. Maybe we need this. This is our fix, right? Even our churches. I remember the last time that there were church shootings in Texas. I met with the vestry of St. Albans, and we came up with a contingency plan around this, a safety plan. How do we fix it, right? I think the people are so afraid about Jesus is because he transcends their fix. Jesus enters into that moment as a stranger, as somebody who's unknown, as a person from across the lake. And he moves into that moment with healing and compassion and love. And if Jesus can do that to that fix, that means that Jesus can do that to all the fixes that we've put in our lives. All those parts within ourselves and our societies that we've shackled up or bound up or put away or separated from ourselves or denied. All those parts of the broken relationships that we have, our frustrations or our anxieties about the world that we cut off or we deal with in unhealthy ways. Or we build up resentment about. That trusting Jesus means that Jesus will break through those prejudices and self-fixes too. And that is scary. That's a scary thing. To think that the gun violence problem in our country can't be fixed by one person or one side's idea. But it has to be fixed by the transformational love and mercy of somebody like Jesus Christ. I don't know what that means for us as we put ourselves in the journey with Luke to try to understand what the power of the Messiah is all about. Because that's what it is. That's what Luke is doing with us, is taking us on that journey and wondering if we are going to be willing to follow all the way to Calvary, where only the women followed and stood at the cross, right? But the hope is that on this journey, as we see Jesus do these radical, self-sacrificial, radically loving things, that we too are inspired to let go of our own sort of prejudices and ideas about how the world should be fixed, and to begin to trust God, trust that it is in connectedness and in love of other, and in letting go of sort of our own sort of ideas about what needs to happen. That's where it begins to sort of come together. When I wrote to John, my friend in Birmingham, who's at this church, I said, John, I don't know what to say. I haven't talked to you in years. I said, I know you to be smart and to love God well and to love others well. I think that you and God will get through this, but all my love to you is what I wrote to him. And he wrote back to me that the power of Christ is already beginning in the outpouring of love and generosity and kindness from all around the world that has come into that community, that the process has already begun. Not in the news coverage or in the political punditry or any of that, but in acts of love and kindness and surrounding with just words of support and comfort. So we live in this broken world. And whatever you want to say about demons, that's okay. However you want to think about what those were, what those represent in terms of a literary device, a scientific thing, a misunderstanding in the ancient world, or if you believe that there are demons that walk around among us. I think it matters not. I think what we can do as people of faith is recognize that the will of God often gets thwarted in this broken world that we live in. And that the way that Jesus entered into that and turned everything upside down was not to dominate, was not to control, was not to get an army together, was just to be among the folks who are most vulnerable and love and heal and feed those folks. Amen. I invite you to stand or kneel as we pray together.
We pray for all people. Prayers are welcome. We pray for the nations of the world and for our leaders.
Especially people in the Ukraine.
We pray for justice and for peace. We pray for communities of faith, especially for this community.
And we pray for St. Stephen's Episcopal Church, Birmingham.
We pray for those in need, trouble, or poor health, and especially for those in our co-joined churches. We pray for Jim,
J.R.
and Courtney, Pat, Gail,
Priscilla,
Greg,
Cindy,
Joycey,
Kelly,
Barry,
Pete,
Kat,
Xavier,
Becky,
Alexander,
Terry,
Dale,
Peter,
Marianne,
Kelly,
Holly,
John and Janice,
Nicole,
family
of Leanne
Hampton,
Paula,
Margaret,
Jacqueline,
John and Jenny,
Zach,
Steve,
Kyle,
Richard,
Bonnie,
Valerie,
Amy,
Lori,
Roy,
Cheryl,
the Ivy
family,
Christina,
the family of Lowell Chris Thady,
Cheryl,
Jimmy
and Dale,
Athan
and Baby
Rooney,
Randy and
Eddie,
Bill,
Woody,
Laney.
Are there any others you would like to add? We pray for those who have died.
We especially pray for Walter Rainey, Jane Pounds, and Sarah Yeager.
We pray with thankful hearts for the many gifts and blessings of life.
Thanksgiving for fathers. Give thanks for the vestry of St. Thaddeus and their hard work. Almighty and eternal God, ruler of all things in heaven and on earth, mercifully accept the prayers of your people. Strengthen us to do your will. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Now let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy upon you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. Friends, the peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
God's peace. Baby. Hey, come. Yeah, he's got some lung. He's working on us. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome. Please be seated. So a couple of important announcements. One is to say Happy Father's Day to all your fathers, and to thank you for all the people who support fathers. It is what we do on Father's Day is, as people of faith, is that we remember the joys and gifts and blessings it is to have fathers and to be fathers. And as it is that we're able to hold two realities, because that's what we do as people of faith, we acknowledge that there are people for who today is a difficult day because of broken relationships or unrealized dreams or those sorts of things. So we hold folks in prayer around that and in our hearts, and we also celebrate with joy those who for Father's Day is a good day. So I say Happy Father's Day to you. I also, it is important to me to recognize that today is Juneteenth, which is a day in which I think some of us historically have been able to sort of recognize and celebrate and look deep into the past and what has happened and transpired to bring us to this point. And I think in recent history, it is an opportunity for others of us, me included, to dive deeper on our commitments to economic and social and other kinds of freedoms that should be bestowed to everybody in our world. So happy Juneteenth as well. After church today, some things are happening. One, there is pie available for you. This is my Father's Day gift to you. And so the pies are, there's blackberry pie. And if you don't like seeds in your teeth, then there's blueberry apricot pie. No, it's nectarine, isn't it? Nectarine. It's blueberry nectarine pie. If you don't want to be eccentric, there's good old classic apple pie. So there they are. A little something for everybody. Come and enjoy some pie. The choir, I think, is gonna practice or have a rehearsal, or what do you all think? You have a choir, a little choir practice after church. You do that. But we are having a bet. That's what I'm... So, Courtney's stealing my thunder here. So after the choir finishes, after you get some pie, there's a vestry meeting, I think about 40 or so minutes after service ends. Bring pie to the vestry meeting. Anybody is welcome. We are going to continue an important conversation about next steps in terms of recognizing that it is difficult to do all the things that we're supposed to do as church with the fewer and fewer hands that we have to do it. So, hey... So come and be a part of that. Am I missing anything, Courtney? Okay. Walk in love is... Oh, you have something. Please, yes.
I put out some cards in the Narthex, and if you have special hymns in either our regular hymn book or the Levis book, please just write them down, and I'll try my best to send them.
Yeah, we need your favorite hymn recommendations. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us in an offering and a sacrifice to the Most High.
Send upon my heart.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. For you are the source of light and life. You made us in your image and called us to new life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name.
Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it, gave it to his friends, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant. It is shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also, that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, by him and with him and in him, and the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
These are the gifts of God for you, the people of God. Come taste and see that God is good. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food and the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Friends, go forth into the world in peace and be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen those who are faint-hearted and support folks in need. And the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you this day and remain with you all days. Amen. Alleluia, alleluia, go forth into the world rejoicing in the power of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia.